And welcome to Cape Talk, Mildred. It's good to have you.
Thank you, Clarence. It's good to be in Cape Town.
It's good. Yeah, well, you're not actually in Cape Town. You're one of my favorite countries in the whole wide world, Namibia. What are you doing in Namibia?
Clarence, at the moment, I am working on my second book. Also still doing genealogy for other people.
Okay.
Because, you know, as you just said, we have that need to know where we come from. So most of my clients are European, and now they've encountered that they have mixed genealogy. They want to know more about their Khoi or their, you know, the native side.
Okay, so are you living in Namibia at this moment in time?
I'm living in Namibia, but I'm between SA and Namibia because, okay, as you will see in the book, that I'm partly Namibian and I'm partly South African.
Yeah, I got that.
Running around to the different archives and doing research and having fun.
Well, clearly this chance discovery has set you on a path. It is your destiny, clearly. You say you encountered the word Waterbursch in a school class, a standard 3, grade 5 school class.
Great. Remember, my grandmother is a Waterbursch, and I've always known that, you know, we're the Waterbursch, and we come from this royal family. But, you know, the people were limited in that. At that stage, it was before Namibia gained independence. We were still part of South Africa. And my gran, I think they were a bit scared that they would be sent back to SA.
Okay.
And I didn't know why they were always afraid of going back. And because, you know, there's a lot of things that were never spoken. It was just quiet. You can't ask. So that was it. And then me, the inquisitive one, the one that was always asking questions, I was like, oh, who's going to say that to me? Why this? Why that? But I was also the one that was led into, you know, her sisters, her brothers, her cousins. I could ask them questions, and that was on her side and on my grandfather's side. So I am the only one, I believe, that knows all my sides.
Okay.
Even my father's side also. But as I said, there's a few things that are hidden.
Yeah.
But this is the most, I don't know. If more people can go on this journey, it will be so.
I agree with you.
I don't know. It broadens your mind, your horizons, your thinking.
Yeah, so this is one part of you, the Waterbursch. This is the lineage. This is the royalty, that lineage.
The blue bloods.
The blue bloods. And the next book is going to be about the red bloods, I'm sure. but let's stick with the blue bloods. You knew you were Waterbursch. You also say you knew you were royalty, but Granny didn't want to talk about it. Did you find out why Granny didn't want to talk about it?
While doing my research, going on this journey, and I really discovered that there were things that were not supposed to be, you know, they were afraid to be seen back, and they were afraid of the South African government, I believe, the NP,
the apartheid government.
All those,
okay.
The apartheid government. And I believe that when people read the book, they will see how Johannes was treated, how Nicholas was treated. Their land was taken away from them. And this discovery took me to England as well. I just didn't only do my research in SA in Namibia. I also did my research in England.
Mm.
And the version that I got in England and the version that I got in SA were two different ones. It was always said that Nicholas sold his land for a bottle of wine.
Mm.
People have that notion that he sold them, you know. But in fact, his land was taken. He had a tiresome battle with the SA government and the British. You must remember it was a time of Cecil John Rhodes. And it wasn't a nice time. Johannes had about 8 farms. And two of those farms, I don't want to go into it now on this platform. But on two of those farms, his maternal family, the people that I believe is his maternal family, his grandfather and his two uncles took his farms and they built an empire that made them the most richest South Africans, I think.
Now listen, this is Lekker Skinner. Why are you not going to share that here?
Masai Skinner.
Is it in the book?
It's in the book.
Drop
it's
the name. The Drop just... the name, then the book will sell.
I don't want to be killed, but I believe that my Johannes was De Beer, that his mother was De Beer, the daughter of Johannes De Beer. And I have this because his mother, the one I believe was his mother, was Johanna Christina. Johannes gave his baby daughter the name Johanna Christina.
Now, why?
First, the Johanna Christina name is in the family, and that was the only. It's not that it is in other sides of the family. It's only on that one daughter that has that name. So it's not a family name.
Mildred, when you talk about the De Beers, are you talking about like the De Beers?
The De Beers, okay, the mining giants.
Yeah, not the glass ring. Yeah, I got it. Okay, so the De Beers, and you saying that the Waterboers were at one stage one particular family. And I mean, a lot of people, if they're brave enough to go and do their genealogy, they're going to be quite surprised about the kind of stuff in their past. And that applies to people who think of themselves as white as well. Is that not correct?
You know, once, this was years ago, I was in Rulon Street attending a conference or a workshop or something. And there were all these white people. And I remember the theme for that day was the Khoi great-grandmother, something like that. And I was like asking these white people, why are you here? I mean, this is for us. This is for us who have black grandmothers. They were like, no, we also have. We also come from the same grandmother.
Look!
Which, and it, you know, things like that. And the people, you won't believe me, the people that were buying my book, and are still buying the book, most are white people. And they are in, they're like, Mildred, you don't know what you did for us, blah, blah, blah. We are now busy testing, you need to test your DNA. We want to see if we're also related. We also have Khoi, we also have Griekwa. And Johannes's family married white. A lot of them married white. So, from the, I think one married a Kruger, Paul Krier's family, you know?
Yeah.
And they've got these white surnames. So they took the land. A lot of them took land that were belonging to the Griekwa.
Mildred,
and they built.
Just coming back to your De Beer story, are you saying then that Johannes Waterboer, properties, farms were taken away from him by the De Beers? Is that your allegation, essentially?
That's what I, you know, someone said to me, you'll have a hard time proving this.
Yeah,
because lots of documentation will be gone by now.
You also said that some claim that Johannes sold his farms or farm for a bottle of wine, and you said you went to
not
England.
Not Johannes, Nicholas.
Sorry, Nicholas.
Nicholas, that's a rumor.
Yeah.
That's a rumor. But in fact, he didn't sell his land.
Okay. He didn't sell his land. Okay.
He didn't really sell it. It was taken.
It was
and
taken.
I, because I found the title deed still on Nicholas's name.
In other words, the land still belongs to the family. Is that what you're saying?
It's supposed to still belong to the family.
And where is this land?
In the northern
in the northern
province,
Cape. Okay.
Yeah, in that area.
I want to understand. Land. Is this book that you've written, Return of the Waterboers, is it about maybe correcting history as attributed to the Waterboers, or is it about you? What is it?
You will see in the book. I was drawing like similarities that Johannes was rejected by his family, and because he was supposed to be the chosen one, he was supposed to when Nicholas. You know, he wasn't the one to follow up. It's, you know, it's not, I don't want to joke about this, but while I was doing this, I was like, is Johannes and Hester, were they like Harry and Meghan? did people not want them, you know? And Yeah, but what I believe is Johannes was the one to follow up his dad, and he was just, even the stepmother didn't want him, so she wanted one of her, because one of the sons were born the same year as he was. Nicholas had this, you know, when it's still today, I don't want to call him a sugar daddy, but like today, you know, when men have money, they feel they can take anyone. And I think this is what happened between Johannes's mother and Nicholas. This child was born, and he was well off, and Nicholas and all of that. And yeah.
I'm chatting with Mildred Williams, Return of the Vata Boers. First book, is it? You're busy with your second one, is that correct, Mildred?
Yes.
Okay, you're also a trained journalist and a PR strategist, I guess. That makes it easy peasy. But you describe this book as being very, very important to you reconciling self. You talk about a spiritual journey, nearly. Tell us about that journey. What does encountering your past in the manner that you did, how does that benefit you?
Yeah, also to answer one of your last questions quickly, you said, am I correcting, am I trying to correct, you know, history? Am I correct? The books that were written, I think they were very biased. And then coming back to now, my journey, I was in Cape Town. I was living it and I was getting all these nice jobs and preparing myself to take them. And then I had this encounter with a spiritual mentor, what do you call them, prophet. And she was telling me, no, you can't do this. And then when you're like, you want to run away, you get this the same message from someone else, and they were like, you need to go in, return to your where you come from. And that's also why I'm now in Rehoboth at this moment. I moved from
Okay.
Windhoek, where I grew up, to Rehoboth. I've been here now for a year. So I needed to go back to all these places that my family come from. I had to go back to Golphinia. I had to retrace every step that Johannes and Hester, not every step, it's hard work.
Sure.
But I had to go back and find out what happened. You know, you have these stories. Oh, this is what happened. Now, what I've seen on doing this is people have stolen identities. Say, for instance, I don't know, there are also 40 in Namibia that also come from Cape Town. Say, for instance, I can say I'm the daughter of Clarence. My surname is Fort. Then I take whatever Clarence has left here, and I will say this is my father's, and I am owning this now. And that is what people did. They also took certain, you know, they used the surname to obtain certain things. And Johannes, yeah, it's a different, it's a different story. I had to, Esther, my great grandmother, she filed everything, her
Well, good.
testament, you know, and there's a lot of things that helped me along my way to really get the real picture of what happened.
Okay, so you're
And
saying this book is about an inclusive history, not just one side. It's important, a side that must be told. I get that. I want you to tell me about what it meant for you. You talk about a liberation of sorts that came with the discovery, through research.
Through our family history, we learn more about ourselves. In exam, you know, like, where do I get this, say, my creativity side from? Where do I get my craziness from? And but as I said, people tend to just look at the one side, and you know, sometimes you don't want to know everything, but you have to go through this because this is history. You don't want to know that you're, I'm not saying it, this is what happened, but you might not want to know that your grandfather was in some prison. But that was history, that happened. And not all of us want to know that side, the bad side. We just want the good. We just want the niceness, the, we are blue blood. We don't want to hear that my grandmother was a native woman. We want to say, oh, my opa blou oë gehad en blonde hare en hy kom van Engeland. You know, that's the stories that people want to hear. They don't want this. So this journey was hard for me. I was crying a lot. I needed to forgive people for the sake of Johannes and what happened to him. There's a story, there's a rumor that Johannes only, when he crossed the border to Namibia, he only came here with two shirts. That was all he owned on his name. But in fact, Johannes was rich. He had, if you see the people that were his groomsmen, they were the top elite of SA, of the Northern Cape. And now Johannes was just nothing in the end, because his whole history was wiped out. So yes, you get angry, and angry is a very mild word to use, but yeah, but you need to forgive, and you need to. I remember someone once said, "When you forgive, you won't forget." But you know, you need to. You will. You must just try to live with it. And for the sake of my family, there's a lot that I don't reveal in the book, because not all of us will be so. I don't know.
But
forgiving.
Isn't that the challenge? It's the good and the bad, and the ugly that must be embraced, especially with the kind of diversity that some of us and forgiveness is an important part of that reconciliation. But surely the ugly must be out as well. You can't just hide it under the carpet, Mildred. Mildred Williams, my guest in Namibia. She's written Return of the Waterboers. Retelling the story that has been told in so very many classrooms for so many years about the Waterboers, giving us a different perspective, but of course encountering our own and reconciling our own genes in the process. And she calls it, when you find your ancestral lineage or roots, you find yourself. Mildred?
Yes, Terence.
Okay, I wanted to go on to the red blood. I want to talk about the ugly.
You
said you don't tell it in the book because you don't think the family is going to be able to embrace it.
My family, I don't want to. You know, sometimes I wonder. You know, all these sacrifices that my ancestors made. I look at the Majids. They were most, I assume that they were maybe slaves that came from,
yes,
Turkey and those places. And they, I don't know in which way they came here.
In chains.
And what I found, yes, and what I found that some of them are also royal.
Yes.
This family is also a royal dynasty. And it's also sad. And while I was researching, the library at UCT burned down. And I was like, but there's a lot of my Majid information in there that it's now gone.
Yeah.
And they come from, you know, they have the Sultan and all those royal people that I also want to retrace and find out who they were. I'm one of the families that I've now interviewed again was one of my Jansen side. And I found that they are the creatives, the writers, the thinkers. And you know, things like that is like, okay, this is where I get this side of myself from.
Mildred, what about the Caucasian, the Caucasian roots?
The Caucasian roots, the white side.
Yes.
You want my white people?
Yes, I want all of your people.
I have my Okazin. You will see my Okazin opa is in there.
Yeah. Tell me about your opa. Tell me about opa Okazin.
Opa had a very colorful lifestyle.
Okay, is that how he gets into the stick? When you say colorful, he gets his role in a movie. Now I'm on the tip of my seat here.
For today's people, he would have been, you know, in Cape Town, Capetonian guys, and they like, a lot of them have these colorful lifestyles. So Opa would have.
What is a colorful lifestyle? Help us here. Help us.
He has a few families. Let's put it like that.
Now that is the ugly. That is the ugly. And it takes two to tango. And sometimes when we deal with the people tangoing, it's just too much to take. And I think that's where the pain is sometimes for so many people. And we need to set it free, don't you think so?
Yes, and that's what I saw of Opa. I had to retrace his side also. And I found that, you know, he also needs forgiveness. Mm. Because he didn't do this because he wanted to do it. He did what he did because the opportunity was there, and the one door closed and another door opened.
That is
to put it mildly.
Yeah, no, I got your diplomatic speak completely. And unfortunately,
my mother was, why did you put it in there? I said I also needed to tell his stories so that people can also see he just didn't want to be this playboy.
Listen, in the this process happened. Of telling your story, Mildred Williams, you're telling so many people stories. And I want you to just stay on a little while longer, if you don't mind. Okay, in the last lap of our time together, views and news through till 12 o'clock, and wrapping up a conversation with Mildred Williams, author of the book Return of the Waterboers. It's a riveting one by the sounds of things. I've not been able to get there because I only got it last week, Mildred. But she writes, my journey of looking for my ancestors, Esther and Ioannis, made me find answers to questions that were hidden, although they were just under our noses. This journey got me to understand the tradition of transferring names that remained in the family to keep the historical and biological lines alive. I got to understand the connections between the many families that all belong to the Waterboer dynasty. And this book will unpack the auntie, Dusie Swartz, who died shortly after Williams, after you interviewed her in October 2020. This is the 99-year-old auntie, is that correct?
No. Oh, okay. Auntie Eva is the 99-year-old.
She must have been.
And he's still alive and kicking.
And guarded, or a treasure trove of information?
Yes, I adore her.
Okay.
She's just...
So she let amazing. You have it.
Yes, you know, when these old people, what we as... I was in England, as I said. I was a care worker years ago, traveling around, and we worked with old people, you know, and they, to me, it's my point of view, they're very neglected. And, you know, you have judges and teachers and doctors and things. They are filled with information. They're a library on their own. And these people can, you know, they're my favorite people since I was a child because they have all this information. And Oma Eva, she was the one that helped me. And you will also see Oma Honey Swartz, my mom's aunt from my the dad's side. She was the one that helped me with the De Klerks, which I am now exploring more. Oma Honey's, unfortunately, she passed away a few years ago.
De Klerks.
But De Klerk, Evia. I was thinking of Evia this last night. I was in Adderley Street. You will not believe me. This was years ago, late 1997 or 1998. I was crossing the street and he was standing next to me smoking a cigarette. And I was like, this is unbelievable. And, you know, then we didn't have cell phones and Facebook and stuff to like take a picture.
I'm just thinking my wife is, a maiden name is De Klerk as well. So maybe I also have a claim on that farm that you say was stolen, or the farm.
From the De Klerks.
Listen, I want to know about this new book.
The new book, I want to explore more on the De Klerks. So your wife might be related to me. She might be one of
the... They got the same complexion. Same complexion, except it's...
Is it?
It's the Belleville South version, yeah.
Okay. No, but I think I look more like the Majeeds. They've got the dark hair and the,
I
and the olive skin.
Listen.
I found that now.
I think you've...
My mom...
You've, You've really set us on a journey of, like you say, self-discovery or rediscovery. And it's a journey that I've been on, and it's just great to meet somebody there as well. Somebody writes, genealogy is fun. Researching, you dig up so many secrets and so many new family. My great grandparents, too many, was on the first ship that arrived in New Zealand. Their children, boys, left England years later but stayed in Cape Town. A sister arrived in Durban and was in a hotel of ill repute as a maid. It's historic history. But after that, I can now cover color, religion, trades, etc. That's a WhatsApp a note in. It talks to that diversity, and I think it is about embracing that diversity that too many of us are reluctant to, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And I think once all of that is embraced, we're going to come into ourselves and take back the farm. But thank you very much, Mildred. It was really lekker chatting with you. Good luck with the next book. I'm looking forward to getting into yours.
Thank you, Clarence.
Okay, take care. Bye.